Hey guys, welcome back. It's Annette Harris, your certified mental health ambassador and host of this podcast, Mind Mending in the Net, distributed by Get Caught in a Net Incorporated. Remember to think of this experience as a net for your mind to mend. And I do encourage you to please make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Look for Mind Mending in the Net on Spotify, Google, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast shows. And the time has come for us to recite our mantra. Everything starts in the mind. A positive mental health tip for you. We want to help you to build a better relationship with technology. Spending too much time on our phones or online isn't necessarily good for our mental and emotional health. But if we learn how to interact with technology in more healthy ways, it doesn't have to be bad for us. And one way to do that, sometimes you may have to shut it down. Step away from that computer. Step away from that phone. Maybe go for a walk. So that's your health tip for this episode. Listen, we had a part one of the discussion on the psychology behind social media. What really drives us. Part one was so hot, filled with statistics and information to help develop this particular subject. And my wonderful guest was Demetra Williams Pitts. So without further ado, I want you to listen to the psychology behind social media.
Depression is huge. I was reading something, although these are old statistics, that 264 million people suffer from anxiety. From depression. 284 million people suffer from anxiety. 970 million people suffer from mental and substance abuse. And a lot of this is driven by social media.
Yeah.
Because they can't handle some of the ugly stuff that's, you know, being said out of, I would just say it's out of ignorance that people say it. I think a lot of times we put ourselves in a position, meaning we don't need to advertise everything on social media. Now that's another angle.
Yep.
Okay. You're talking to the picture here. So everybody doesn't need to know what's going on in your life.
True.
You know, and so if you don't give them the information, they can't talk about the information.
Yeah.
But fortunately, we've gotten to a place where social media has become, I'm going to call it a conversation to the world about our personal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that can lead to a lot of mental challenges. I mean, depression, anxiety, loneliness, unfortunately, self-harm, and even suicidal thoughts, because you're not getting what you expected from your audience. And see, your audience doesn't necessarily love you. They don't necessarily even like you. But if you're extremely popular, you have this expectation of people that you really shouldn't have, because you don't know the majority of them.
Right.
So that's kind of a, you know, you need to temper yourself in what you share. And then on the other side, you know, people need to be more kind and more considerate of others' feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I agree. That's some good stuff. You're talking good. And I just hope that, you know, those of you that are listening to this podcast, you can understand what we're saying, you know, and agree with many of the things that we're talking about on today, because I'm sure you've seen it. I'm going to read this statement here from this article. It says here that successful social interactions and the neurotransmitters released during such interactions can be one of the most fulfilling stimuli for humans. And this is another aspect of social media. It also says here that social media allows us to carry on our person billions of potential social connections. And social media companies have harnessed this to their advantage. There was a statement the former president, Facebook president, Sean Parker. He says he described the Facebook platform as a social validation feedback loop.
Wow.
And admitted that the like button had been deliberately introduced to give a little dopamine hit. And encourage, and also to encourage continued use. So as we kind of shift into talking about this in terms of, you know, why they created certain things such as the like button, going back to that phrase there, social validation feedback loop, that it's quite interesting. I was watching this, I'm gonna interject this here. I was watching this little video about, I guess maybe it was considered a movie. And I can't even think of the name of it right now, but it was almost like they showed you how, you know, certain apps were created and how within these apps, there are certain things that they do to grab an individual's attention to keep them going on it, to encourage the continued use. And there was one young man that they were focusing on. I think he was still in like high school or something like that. And he had siblings, and his mother challenged him to not be on his phone. Well, first thing she said, definitely not at the dinner table. So they had to cut that out. And okay. Then she challenged him not to be on his phone or on social media, period, for about a month. And I think she was going to reward him with something. I don't know, was giving money for a car. It was something like that, right? And he did good for a couple of days. Now, in the meanwhile, it shifted to those who created the app. And those who created the app, they were like, okay, Johnny, and I'm just using the name, Johnny hasn't been on the app in about a day or two. Let's see what's going on with him. And so what they would try to do is, like maybe it was a girl at school that he really liked. And so they like sent a signal to her, and she went on his post and liked his stuff. And, you know, in other words, trying to say she was interested in him right at this point. He's been trying to get her attention all this time, but all of a sudden she's interested in him. So they would throw out those signals, but see, he wasn't looking at his phone. And, you know, it was like this big, it really intrigued me, because I'm like, this is exactly what they do. When they created these apps, when they created these different things to get our attention and to encourage us to continually use it. Well, eventually he messed up the little time frame with his mom, and he went and picked up his phone eventually, right? He was just so addicted, as one of the studies said, you know, to social media. So it's almost like, okay, it does, you can kind of see why they say it's like a dopamine hit.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it's like, you know, as social media continues to grow, it's like all these apps, what they say, there's an app for everything, you know, pretty much. So what are your thoughts with that? Because, and I know you've already mentioned that we have to be tempered in how we use it, but looking on the opposite side of the creators of these apps and the creators of these different pages and stuff that we use, what are your thoughts like towards that?
I look at that the same way, which it is, the same way as I look at advertising. Whomever it was that you were speaking about that said social validation feedback, that was intriguing in itself to me.
Yeah.
A lot of this is based on the same type of philosophy that they use in marketing. You're sitting here, you're watching television, and all of a sudden here comes this, I'm gonna use this although I'm not drawn by it, but all of a sudden, but that's okay. Here comes a McDonald's commercial, but you have a 7-year-old. And so how's the 7-year-old gonna react when they see the McDonald's commercial?
Right.
So now you got a problem, because the 7-year-old is gonna talk about McDonald's, 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 because that's all they want. Because what they've done is the images are drawing the child in.
Yep.
If they're advertising whatever the toy of the month is drawing the child in. Now the child is going to drive you crazy to take them to McDonald's. Well, the same type of thing happens on social media. And because they track our activity, they know what we like. And since they know what we like, those are the ads that show up on our timeline as we're trying to scroll to see what Sister Sookie Rookie has been doing. Now the next thing you know that pops up is an advertisement for some 3-inch pumps that's red or black and wrap around the ankle, and now you're salivating at this shoe that you know you don't need because you already got 3 pair. But they know you like that.
Right.
And so now the oxytocin kicks in, which mm-hmm. is called the cuddle chemical.
Oh yeah.
So now that has taken over, taken our whole attention away from what it is that we were originally on there for. That has basically been raised by as much as 13%, but you don't even realize
it. Mm-mm.
So there's a hormonal spike that happens at that time. You see that black patent leather shoe. Why did I say patent leather? Because see, that's my problem. You see that black shoe that you know you don't need because you already got 5 pairs of black shoes. So you really, but that's beside the point. They know you need it. They know you like it. And right. then you're sitting there smiling and grinning at it. You're going to hit the button. Let me see how much it is. You know, if it's not that much, then I just might go ahead on and get it. But you don't need it. But that's not the point. The point is that it's appealing to what it is that you like.
Yeah.
And that is the whole point. And that's how they make their money. And then you have dopamine.
Yep.
Creates a need to want. Now you're done there. Now at that point, you're done. So if you got both chemicals kicking in, it's just about a wrap. You're going to buy that shoe. Because see, dopamine, it gives you a strong feeling.
Yep.
And that's where the addiction part comes in. I was reading that dopamine is equivalent to having an addiction to alcohol and cigarettes.
Yep.
God forbid you got both things going on, which you typically do. And so now we're in trouble. Because now we bought 2 pair. So you went to buy the one black shoe that you saw. You get on the site, and now you see this leopard print handbag. You don't need a leopard print handbag, but it's so cute. But you don't need it.
Don't need it at all.
At all. Whatsoever. And so, yeah, it's designed that way. Mm-hmm. And so, to you, now, what I don't like is for them to use the young lady to like all of his posts. My problem with that one is, does she really like him? Or is this a setup? Because Ooh. He's not, I mean, if he's actually been trying to pursue her, and now all of a sudden she's giving him some attention, and it's a setup, How is he going to feel when he realizes he's been set up?
Ooh-wee.
So now that's the negative part of that.
Right.
Because see, now you just set me up. I'm thinking somebody like me and they don't like me. And I'd have been played. But who can you be angry with? So now let's look at it. So who are you angry with though? Are you angry right. with yourself? Are you angry with the girl? Are you angry with the app designer? You don't know who to be angry with. So yeah, this can cause some problems.
Definitely.
Because now I'm all high off this dopamine because this girl is liking me. And then I see her at school and she's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You hurting people like that. You hurting people.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. So many people suffer because of that. Yeah, that is so amazing. Oh my gosh, you started talking about those advertisements. I'm telling you, Demetria, those advertisements get on my nerve. Something, and then it's like you were just thinking about something, and then you go on Facebook, and there it is right there. Like what? Or you were just talking to your friend about it on the phone. They listening. They hear.
Well, actually, there's a feature that can turn off some of it. I did find that out.
Yeah, I heard that too. You may have to show me where that is, but I think I heard that too.
But it's designed that way. It's been that way, you know, since business was business. Because having, you know, a retail background, I know some of the tricks that they use in order to get people to come in the store. Way back in the day,
mm-hmm.
what they used to do is spray a certain scent in the store. that would attract you to certain things. And of course, during Christmas, it's real easy because you're smelling the cinnamon. You're smelling the eggnog. You're smelling all of these, the pine. I love pine. You're smelling the pine. And so now it's just drawing you in. More money.
Right. Yeah, oh. they know what they're doing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, this is amazing. Ooh-wee. Yeah, social media. It can break you or make you. you know, let me ask you a couple of questions. One, I want to ask, does social media really define us, or does it create or make you someone that you're not?
Both.
Okay, tell me how.
Once again, social media. I'm going to say that I'll probably say this a million times. Social media is an extension of who you are and who you desire to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so in you showing yourself who you are, a lot of people, if they have low self-esteem, as we've already talked about, if they have insecurities, they're going to be hesitant in posting things about their true self, because they already feel that they don't have people that will enjoy what it is that they may talk about. And so they end up creating this false persona in order to draw in some friends.
Yeah.
That's dangerous as well, because at some point, you know, either you're going to get lost in, your fake self, and you forget about your real self. Mm-hmm. So that's also a dangerous game that people are playing with themselves. And I've actually seen people I know do this. And all I can do is just sit back and, yeah, okay, fine, I see what you're doing. But I don't know, I've not read any statistics on, you know, who may be portraying their true self versus their false self. But there have been some studies done on it where there are a number of people, especially younger people, who are presenting a false sense of who they are. But that's just to be included. And that, I find, happens with adults a lot.
Ooh, see? Yeah.
Shouldn't have gone down that road.
No, I wanted you to, because our show is I was sure about to ask you, because you mentioned about the young people, but I'm like, I see so many older people. Yes. It's almost like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, they've been drawn into it. And again, maybe I can do this. And this is just Annette talking, everybody that's listening. I think that because of the past year that we were, you know, told to stay at home, we were told to, you know, not come out because of the pandemic, it's like so many people are like, okay, what do I do now? And then, you know, maybe you had some people that already had a page that never, you know, was that actively involved in it, or some people probably created pages, whether it's on Facebook, Instagram, or whatever, you know. And so I think a lot of the older people, I see so many of them now, you know, they're sending you friend requests, and it's like, they're kind of excited about it, you know, if you will, but they're drawn in, and it's like, I you know what? I feel kind of, how do I feel about it? Sometimes I feel sorry for them, because it seems like they get drawn in and then they get hit. They get hit with duplicate pages, people, taking their photo. And, you know, I've seen it so much. Mm-hmm. Taking advantage of them is basically what I want to say. And that's why I feel sorry for them. So it's almost like, okay, we really have to be careful. We really got to be careful with the social media, because, I mean, it's a good, there are positives to it. There's some positive things that could come from it, but we have to have a balance.
Yeah, we have to have a balance. And I agree with you as far as the older people are concerned. And what I'm going to say older is probably anybody above the age of 70. I'll go with that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a friend of my, on my page. I know she's probably 80. And so a lot of things, what I do with people like that is I'll send them inbox messages to kind of help them navigate through.
Okay.
So that they don't get hit so bad, because I do have a heart for older people. But when it comes to, back to that, you know, creating a false persona, there was a psychologist, I can't remember the name, that coined this phrase, the cult of likability in our reputation economy, where we're hyper-obsessed with earning followers and digital accolades at any price.
Mm-hmm.
If it means denying huge portions of our identity, that is frightening to me. But I see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. And he goes on to say, the self you create and express in virtual spaces influences your belief or the lack thereof in your real world self. And so it's not that you're just trying to fool me, you fooling yourself.
Yep.
That's frightening.
Very.
So, you know, while you're here, you know, pretending to be, and I'm not talking about anybody, I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. Put that little disclaimer in. You know, but while you're here presenting yourself as this great entrepreneur, let me use that one. But there's no other presence on the world wide web of you doing anything, you selling anything, you don't have anything. So how did you become this big person on Facebook or Twitter or wherever? And I can't find you anyplace else other than Facebook.
Right.
But you've got this big, long, drawn out title about you've done this, that, and the third.
Mm-hmm.
So now who are you? Actually, I put up a post one day. I only had two responses, and actually the post just said, who are you?
Wow.
Yeah. I think people on social media and forget who they actually are if they ever knew who they were.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to know who you are. Bottom line.
Yeah, but I gotta throw this in. A lot of people don't want to know who they are because they're afraid of themselves.
Mmm. And that's something to think about. That is very true.
Yeah, well, that's the truth of it. And see, when you start talking about, you know, the truth of some things, that can be frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely frightening.
Yeah.
You know, to say that I'm a, okay, and this is just an example. I ain't talking about who I ain't talking about nobody. I'm talking about what I'm talking about. But if you know that you're a liar, you know you're a liar.
Right. Yeah.
You know you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know you are, then that means that you've denied something that I know somebody has said to you.
In denial. Don't be in denial, right?
There you go. On that river of denial.
Are you on that river of denial? I told you that Demetria Williams-Pitts was going to bring it. Hey, this is the second episode of The Psychology of Social Media, and I thank you for joining us. Share this with someone. Hey, guess what? I have a part three for you as well. Yes, there is much more to talk about regarding the psychology of social media. So thank you so much for joining us, for listening. And if you have any questions or comments relating to this topic or any other topics, please email me at mindmendinginthenet@gmail.com. Again, that's mindmendinginthenet@gmail.com. Please make sure you subscribe to this podcast if you have not done so already. And follow me on social media. On Instagram, you can find me at mindmendinginthenet. Search Spotify, Google, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast shows and look for Mind Mending in the Net, where everything starts in the mind. See you in the next episode.